Welcome to the Makeup Historian Podcast, interviews that preserve the beauty and blemishes of history. Or in other words, no topic is off limits. I'm your host, Sarah Long, a makeup artist turned historian. But something that we, for those who listened to the last episode of season three, between both of us, is a topic that we kind of started to go over was this whole phenomenon of trying to normalize pedophilia within academia right now by using this jargon or kind of creating this discourse about that pedophiles, in a sense, want to be called MAPs,
yeah.
Minor attracted persons, not pedophiles. So that's kind of, we only briefly like scratched the surface of that in the last episode, but that's what I would like our conversation to really expand on today.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's a topic that's protected in a sense. You know, they have it under umbrella of people trying to get help. If there's any content that's aimed toward children that people disagree with, they attack them for disagreeing with it. So it's an interesting societal kind of issue that's going on right now. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about this. I mean, there's a lot to uncover there.
Yeah, and well, I already have a question. I guess I know I didn't send you questions, but I'm already coming up with questions. But before we get into that, for those who didn't listen to the episode where the last time that you were on the show, do you mind giving us just kind of a background of what you do and which all the projects that you're involved in?
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Marco Zalata. I go on social media as a complete joke as Z-Speaks, but that's really just a joke on there. But I attend Cal State Fullerton. I am involved with Turning Point USA there. I do work with the California Republican National Hispanic Assembly, Fix California when it was still in the prime, a lot of different things. And my whole mission really is to help where I can, to fight for conservative values, to help my community in ways that I know is beneficial, and to stop the destruction that the left is causing on everyday Americans, our children, academia, you name it. They destroy everything they touch. So my sole mission is to just try to prevent that, educate people, and motivate people to actually stand up against that mob.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that a lot because I'm a big advocate for free speech, you know, in all aspects. So I commend you for that. And I always respect the fact that you stay true to your values, and especially in higher education when it's not exactly the most welcoming environment at times.
Yeah, that's
so
for sure.
I appreciate that. So to kind of get us started on expanding this conversation, because I think you and I can provide different insights or a different perspective on this, mm-hmm. a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the Balenciaga ad that has recently come out, and it's causing a world of controversy. Yeah. But what did you think when you first saw that ad?
Man, when I first saw it, it was okay. The whole issue, the controversy came out, and Balenciaga pretty quickly was removed it and started apologizing and doing what's very typical and right in line with what you would do in a sort of corporate crisis, right? And I studied public relations, so it was pretty obvious what they're doing from my standpoint. And the first thing I thought when I saw it was, I saw the pictures and I saw the apology and the screenshots from Balenciaga's story, and I thought, there is absolutely no way that this whole campaign, these pictures, these promotional ads were created and approved without anybody causing a red flag, right? No one, there's no way something like that is posted and done accidentally, especially not when mm-hmm. you consider not only did they include children, which in most cases, right, there's some sort of company, there's some paperwork there, there's restrictions on children actors and models and things like that, right? So they have to go through a lot of effort to get children to be a part of this. Secondly, mm-hmm. if you look at the documents that were inside the photo, some of them are written by authors that have these terrible, disgusting books with kids in who are dismembered. They are disgusting. They're bloody. They're cut up. Mm-hmm. Some of them have genitalia on their faces. Like, there's so much weird things going on with that campaign. And the only thing I could think of is there's no way this was an accident. No one thought of this idea and posted it onto their main Instagram page and had it just go out without approval. So their apology was complete bullshit, you know, excuse my French. There's no way a company at that high level with that much gross revenue comms team, CEOs, C-suite executives. There's no way something like that flies under the radar. So it was purposeful. And second, I thought, okay, well, we know their apology is nonsense. They don't mean it. That means these people are really trying to push what they can put out there. They're trying to see how far they can go. And in their heads, they thought they could get away with it. They thought, oh, it's just another fashion brand being weird, right? We have Converse with satanic symbols. We have all these other brands doing such weird things that are satanic, or, you know, they lean on the side of pedophilia, and other designers are into this, the most weird things that you could find. So they thought they could get away with it. And then that made me really concerned, because it seems like they kind of have, to an extent. Sure, they had to take it down. Sure, some people are burning their things. They're not going to shop at Balenciaga. But there's not this massive uproar that you'd expect from something as horrendous as using kids in a sort of, you know, promotional campaign that has such sexual undertones. And that really concerned me. And I think it's just a giant indicator of what's happening to our society.
Yeah. I mean, and I completely agree with everything you said. And something, when I first saw it, in a sense, I thought, how far does the pendulum really have to swing in order for Americans to fight back? When are Americans going to remember what it means to be an American? Also, I thought, how insulting to people who have actually survived abuse from a pedophile, you know, or, I mean, you know, and kind of like this whole, it just opened up Pandora's box. And like you said, I'm a little bit concerned, not just a little bit, I'm very concerned that there is not such an outroar of like, disgust towards this. Like, what is going on? And I think it's actually, unfortunately, very reflective of how a majority of people in power in America, they've lost their way.
Right.
You know, they've really lost direction. And I think a lot of that, I mean, I think it's been decades in the making, but it's scary. You know, I think it's, it's also scary too that, I mean, there's other things that are simultaneously happening with the debut of the Balenciaga ad, especially in California, right? We just saw recently that the penalty for, committing a sexual crime against a minor has gone down significantly.
Yes.
And then academia, we're seeing a normalization of a war on words, a war on language, trying to normalize it. So I don't think it's any coincidence at all. But what do you know about what's going on in California in regards to the consequences or like the legal actions for people who commit a crime against a child?
Yeah, well, reports are coming out that there's a large amount of pedophiles being released from prison with short sentences, right? 1 year, 2 years. And now someone online, when I was posting about this, brought up a pretty interesting point that sometimes they're hard to prove, and these individuals are taking plea deals. So they get shorter sentences, they still have to register on the sex offender list, AYZ, whatever requirements. And okay, to an extent that makes sense, understanding that prosecution can be difficult in some cases. It all depends. But we have, I think it's over 7,000 pedophiles who are convicted criminals. They've been convicted of this heinous act that are being released with such short, you know, prison sentences. And it's disgusting. Now, I got very curious. And now I don't have kids yet. I mean, I'm 25 now. I'm not necessarily concerned about pedophiles for myself, but I got curious and I went onto the California database that shows you where convicted or registered sex offenders are in your area. Just around my house alone, there's around 8, and that's within a mile. There is a lot more registered sex offenders than people realize that are out there. And the studies are out there that show that reoffending rates are pretty darn high. So when you couple that with prosecutors who are weak on prosecution like Gascon, then you have these terrible legislators like Democrats, State Senator Scott Weiner, who introduced SB 145, which lowers, you know, certain crimes to misdemeanors from felonies, which include sodomy and sex with underage minors. And I'm happy to look this up exactly what the bill says. But all these different things are just an attack on kids. And California seems to be at the forefront of this attack. which is really concerning because I hope to have one kids one day. I want to be able to raise my family in California. And it's very concerning that not only may you still homeschool your kids, but there's still going to be X, Y, and Z amount of sex offenders around you who have been given a slap on the wrist instead of a much heavier sentence to maybe learn. And there's no, with the lighter sentences, there's no really penalty there, right? There's nothing that's telling them, man, if I actually do this, I might end up in prison for 30 plus years, where the gang members who, even the gang members understand this, they might kill me for being a pedophile or a sexual assault offender. So there's no punishment there. There's no fear from them. If we keep going down this path, they're going to reoffend, or they might offend because they know, hey, at the worst, I might get a slap on the wrist. I might go in for 1 year and come out. You know, it's just a misdemeanor now. Like, it's just disgusting. It is horrible. It's not politically correct, but I'm just saying, if someone does something to a pedophile that results in grave bodily harm or death, I don't even think they should be prosecuted, right? These are horrendous acts against humanity, right? We wouldn't go easy on war criminals. We wouldn't go easy on mass shooters or serial killers. Why are we going easy on pedophiles?
Yeah. I think the alarm should be sounding for Americans. The fact that we're not going to war to protect our children. This is a problem because, like you were saying, when you move that charge from a felony, no matter what type of felony, when you move it all the way down to a misdemeanor, that gives absolutely no incentive to the criminal, like, to not commit the crime. And this is why California is in complete disarray. It's a joke. I mean, and anyone who goes through California's constitution knows that it's not only behemoth, but it's like a Frankenstein of a legal document. It's no wonder things don't get done. And then people, I mean, what usually happens in California's legal system is people settle because our laws are contradictory. And that puts our most, vulnerable at risk.
Yeah. And it causes many problems. Then you have prosecutors who are pushing people into plea deals when they might be innocent. And you get all this, inequality in our justice system. And it's so broken for bad reasons, like people being pushed into plea deals, like I just mentioned, and prosecutors holding all the power, to prosecutors not prosecuting certain misdemeanors and lowering the punishments for serious crimes. I mean, it is such a cluster of nonsense.
Yeah. So, and when we were talking earlier, you mentioned something about this. There's this kind of talk now going on amongst pedophiles where they are trying to normalize their sexual perversion, their demonic sexual perversion, as a sexual orientation. How do you feel about that?
Look, I don't care what they call it. They are pedophiles. They get what's coming to them, whether it be the prison or someone that's, the relatives or the father or mother of a victim taking action. I don't blame them. I don't believe in vigilantism, but it's just one of the most horrendous acts. So they could try to claim that it's a sexual orientation. They can this and that. I do not care. If they act upon it, they are the lowest of the lows. And we need to be as strict as possible with them. And not only that, we should belittle them. We should make their lives miserable. And I just stand by that. And I will never change my opinion on that.
Well, I will say something, a positive that I see in regards to, like, the response towards this. I am seeing an overwhelming amount of moms, the mama bears really getting involved. Yeah. But what I think is something that maybe academics could do is to give free courses about, like, California's legal system or the federal, legal system as well. Because, like you said, instead of going down the vigilante road, we can't change pedophiles, like, who they are. But what we can change is the law. We can do our part to protect the children from being, victims. Like, that's what we can do. So I mean, this happens a lot in higher ed. We love to sit and talk about the problems, but we don't always provide solutions. Mm-hmm. So, like, this is an issue, this attack on children, this normalized attempt to normalize pedophilia, it weighs very heavy on my heart. And I think that the academics who feel the same way, like, we need to do our part to help educate the public and not have our knowledge of a state's legal system just within the ivory tower. I think it's time we really have to start giving back, because if we do not defend the most innocent in our country, what are we as Americans?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think it's something that we can fight back and fix with a multiple front approach, right? We have to change our society. First and foremost, as a Christian, we need to bring God back into the equation in everything we do. America is becoming godless. Our society is becoming godless. It's all about the individuals and not anymore about, you know, Jesus and his sacrifice for us and our community and each other. I mean, it is such a dark society we're living in now, especially in places like California. Secondly, we need to change the society around protecting children, right? Children don't need to know about these made up imaginary genders that people have. They don't need to know that men can be women and women can be men, because that's false, right? They don't need to be exposed to sexual content at a young age like Disney's trying to do with their shows and their movies. I mean, they just had the first open gay movie or open trans movie, and it completely flopped in sales, and for good reason. People don't want that, no matter how hard they push it, right? If you want to be an adult and you believe you are what you are, then okay. Will I ever say disrespect these people, hurt them? No, of course not. But what I will say is keep it away from kids, because they don't need to know these things. Let children be children. It's not a complicated subject. It's not a complicated ask. Just let kids be kids. Give them what they need to know in the sense of sexual education, so that they don't make mistakes. They don't end up pregnant on accident. They don't end up getting sexually transmitted diseases. Great. They don't need to know about your, you know, gender dysphoria and your mental illnesses. They just don't. Right.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, pass good legislation that brings back the punishment for pedophiles, makes it more strict. And I would love it if there was some sort of constitutional way to punish any legislator who tries to reduce those punishments. Right. Because I don't hear a call for, hey, let's make first degree murder with premeditation and intent and all that. Let's make that a misdemeanor, because, you know, these people don't deserve to be treated so harshly. No. But we are saying, hey, if someone has sex with someone who is less than 14 years old, which this is SB 145, if I'm correct, younger than 14 years old, it's a misdemeanor instead of a felony, right? And then when you attack this person for their bad legislation, they pull out the LGBTQ victim card and say, oh, they're attacking me because I'm gay. No, brother, we don't mind that you're gay. You do you. Yeah. What we mind is you lowering the punishment for these pedophiles on the streets that are going to come after kids, right? So it's a multiple front approach, and it just takes more involvement from the community and for our elected officials to really take heed and take it very serious and get out there, start advocating against these, start holding these people accountable, calling them out where they can. And with that, we can do it. But right now they're playing all these word games, like you said, saying that it's a sexual orientation, saying that they're MAFs, not pedophiles, that, you know, we're not groomers. We're just trying to be more inclusive with children so they understand all these different things. All these different things that are trying to eliminate the innocence of our children is just a solid game. It's nonsense, and it's all leading to the sexualization of children, regardless of what they say, just because kids are not remaining innocent like they used to.
Yeah. And you mentioned something a moment ago about like gender dysphoria. You know, I think that is a legitimate thing, that where people who are dealing with gender dysphoria, I think they do need help. The problem is, though, and especially the kids, like I've seen this, I've witnessed it, like these counselors, I'm just going to say it, they're insane. Like the counselors in education right now, they are insane. When they hear that a child is dealing with gender dysphoria, they are so quick to get to, you know, changing everything and getting them the hormone shots, you know, gender, like the surgery, everything. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. Are you out of your mind?
And it's funny that you mentioned that, because it's not only counselors and these healthcare workers that are kind of pushing this. There was a pro-transgender film that was sponsored, and I'm not lying here, by pharmaceutical companies that creates the feminizing drugs and the puberty blockers, right? So each child that transitions becomes a lifelong customer. They have so many negative effects. They need surgery. They need skin grafts. They need medication. They need pills. Then they need you know, psychological treatments. They need all these different things. And it's a shame that when someone is suffering from something, that we're not being compassionate to them. We're not caring for them. We're not saying, hey, I understand you're going through this. Let's get some professional help. Instead, we're enabling it. We're playing into this facade. And that's why people, when they transition, their chances of killing themselves don't go down. I care about these people. That's why I don't want them to be killing themselves. That's why I don't want to lie that they're this or that. Right? Especially not when they're children. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a coincidence that there's pro-transgender films being made with a bunch of money from the pharmaceutical companies that are making them the feminizing drugs and the puberty blockers.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I don't think that's a coincidence at all. Yeah. And also, too, I mean, like the big I've heard this a lot is that like with the puberty blockers is that, oh, it's, you know, it's reversible or something like that, but it's not going to exactly. And I'm like, this whole thing is actually connected to the normalization of pedophilia as well, because when you do that, essentially you're creating these adult children who have not truly gone through puberty. So it's another way to normalize this perversion. And I'm like, it's ridiculous. And also too, like when I think about this, I get very concerned because like if this had been happening when I was like in fifth, sixth, seventh grade, I probably would have been targeted as like, oh, you think you're a guy. Right. Because in fifth, sixth, seventh grade, I was wearing a lot of guys' clothes, but it wasn't because I thought I was a guy. It was because my body was developing faster and I was self-conscious, you know, and I was a little chunky and like I wore like guys' shirts, you know, but if a counselor, if that same situation had happened today, like, and I'm sure it does, these counselors are so quick to jump on that. And it's like, you know, and then for the kids' perspective too, it's like middle school, high school, it's an awkward time.
It is.
You're looking for acceptance. I know.
I was a little weird. Like we all were. You know, we're trying to figure out who we are and what we are in the big, grand, big world, and they're taking advantage of them.
It's a growing pains time. You know, everyone goes through it. But I've seen it. I've also seen this happen as well. It's like kids will say that they're trans because it makes them popular or it makes them accepted.
Yeah, and
it stops people from bullying.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up because now there's a study out there that goes that a majority of children now, I think it's in the 60 percentiles, identify as LGBTQIA plus and whatever else is out there now. I genuinely can't keep up with it. I know there's a few different models, but they identify with something other than heterosexual in their assigned gender, like who they are. And a part of that argument, and I didn't come up with this argument. Admittedly, Charlie Kirk was talking about this once on his show, and he was saying that when you're a kid in middle school, you want to belong, right? I was bullied in middle school, admittedly. It made me who I am. It is what it is, right? A lot of people go through that. But you want to belong. You want to be a part of something. And instead of doing something like sports or some sort of Boy Scout club or something like that that's very constructive, they join the LGBTQ mafia, right? The alphabet club. And next thing you know, they have their own months, they have their own days, they have their own flags, and they feel that sense of belonging, but now they're confused on what their sexual orientation is. They're not sure if they like boys or girls or boys, or all the above, or if they're a boy or a girl, if they're nothing, and they're, I don't even know, how do you pronounce those other pronouns? Like, it's just they're zims or whatever it may be. And on top of that, not only are kids joining these groups, you know, in a massive new amount of numbers, elementary schools are hiding it. I don't know if you heard about this. Just happened in San Diego at the Ocean Beach Elementary School. They had a rainbow club, and they were encouraging students not only join, but to not tell their parents that the club even existed.
Oh.
So they're sexualizing the children by giving them all these different sexual orientations in elementary school, right? Like, how old are they? Less than 11? Less than 10? And they're telling them to not tell their parents. These government schools are literally trying to take away the children from their parents. Because if the parents aren't united and the children aren't united, humans naturally lose one of the most important things to them, that is the family, and protecting that small unit. And if you have that divided and they're in government schools and you're working and you're distracted, they're going to sexualize your kids. They're going to confuse their minds. And then you're easier to control because you're not hard setting the foundation of family and no one messes with that. And it's, it goes, it's just a giant societal pivot that is very dangerous, not only for children, but society as a whole.
Yeah. And that actually reminded me of something that I posted on social media not too long ago about the training that, that teachers go through, right?
Yeah.
Because teachers are mandated reporters. They're required by federal law to report instances of grooming. And they give you a little chart, you know, kind of like the natural progression of it. Like, these are the signs you're supposed to look out for as a teacher. But if you compare it to what they're doing to kids right now with this, you know, all of these sex ed programs and kind of and the approach towards kids dealing with gender dysphoria, it's grooming 101.
Right.
And I'm like, why are teachers not identifying this? We're mandated reporters. We're supposed to be reporting this. And instead, we're going along with it because now it's under this, it's under a different term. Right. And again, it's all of that. It's this war on words, and teachers don't want to lose their job. So they go in line with the culture. They don't want to offend anyone. Everyone wants to be politically correct.
Yep.
It's like, no, you're the damn adult.
Right.
Protect the kids. Stop it.
it's a shame because I remember when I went to sex ed, it wasn't, hi, you should have sex with this girl or a girl if you're a male, or, you know, they're not saying you should. They're saying, hey, this is how the reproductive system works. This is our STDs and sexual transmission diseases. And that was it in elementary school. This is how it works in general, right? In high school, it was like, hey, if you were going to practice, and this is a lot of people argue about this, like, hey, don't just teach abstinence. And I agree, right? Because you can't control everything. And people, especially teenagers and kids, make mistakes and they do dumb things. So not only do they say, hey, abstinence is the best option to not get someone pregnant and also not get STDs, but if you do conduct yourself in a way that, you know, if you have sexual intercourse with someone, this is how you apply a condom, this is your best options, etc. And that was it.
Yeah.
Right? So why is it now that they're saying, well, you know, boys can like boys and you don't only have to like girls and this and that. And it's like, hey, it was never about who you should be having sex with. It's about just the science, how to protect yourself. And I'm sorry, but if you're talking to kids about sexual orientation, you're talking about who you want to have sex with and how it's normal for you to want to have sex with A, B, or C, or D. And they just don't need that. They don't.
No. And I remember too, like when I went through that, right? Or the first, when you go through that, the program and everything in elementary school, like I remember it being very contentious. Like the parents were so involved.
Oh, yeah.
And so many kids were not.
Permission slips.
Yeah.
And, you know,
the whole thing, like a whole packet that you had to get signed by your parents. Right. And so many kids weren't there that day because the parents were like, we'll handle it. We'll take care of it. We'll have that conversation with our child.
Right.
And I'm like, that's just, I mean, I'm not a parent, you know, but if I was, there's absolutely no way in hell I would let my kid go to a public school.
Yeah. Right, I know now. I'm homeschooling because, I mean, you flash forward 10 years later now, again, the Ocean Beach Elementary School, they're recruiting kids in the third grade at lunchtime, right? And they're reading books and do art that introduce sexual topics, and then they're advising them not to tell their parents. They're in the fucking third grade. Like, excuse my French, but when it comes to these kids and what they're doing, it pisses me off like nothing else in life. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what the left calls me. I don't care what they're doing as adults. But if you're coming after kids, this is how everybody should act. Right.
Exactly.
Control
like,
myself.
There should
I don't like to swear on podcasts or speeches, but like, oh my, like, what is happening? And, you know, and these mama bears are up in arms and the school boards don't care. They just laugh in their faces.
No.
They say, well, you know, this is the way society's going. You know, we have, you know, different groups with different orientations, and then they're introducing sexual topics at the third grade, not telling their parents in San Diego. And it's happening in LA, and it's happening in Ohio, and it's happening in Florida. It's happening everywhere. And we're trying to stop it. And then when you stop it, they attack you for going against the LGBTQ community. Like, it has anything to do with it. Right.
It doesn't. No one's coming at them. That's not what I'm upset about at all.
You say, oh, we're trying to stop groomers. And they're like, it's an attack on the LGBTQ community. And this is why we're dying. And it's like, oh, again, brother, sister, whatever you identify as, I don't care. As long as you don't control my speech, as long as you're not trying to change how I act and you're not trying to change the reality of things, I will respect you. It's like, mm-hmm. I just don't care enough what you want to do in the privacy of your home. I don't care, right? But you're coming at kids and we're talking about it and you're taking it as an attack. That's not on us. That tells me a lot about you and what you're trying to do and what your agenda is, right? Mm-hmm. Again, Senator Scott Weiner, whatever the hell you say, that fucking creep, okay? Charlie Kirk calls him out for passing these laws and he says, they're attacking me because I'm gay. No, disgusting monster. They're attacking you because of the laws you're passing. And it's so strange because there's gays against groomers, right? Yeah. There's all these
groups
who are LGBTQ, right? Who don't associate with the community for whatever reasons or do. And they just realize, like, hey, this is not something we're divided on. This is something we should be united on because kids are our future and they're one of the most important things to our nation, our families, our society. I mean, even if you don't have kids, this is something you should be worried about.
Absolutely. And I'm curious too, like what, kind of transitioning a little bit more to the discussions taking place in higher ed. We had a moment to talk before the beginning the interview about Dr. Walker's book, A Long Dark Shadow. I think like the subtitle was Minor Attracted Persons and Their Fight for Dignity, something ridiculous like that. Anyway, we were talking about that. And I'm curious, before I say kind of like my insight on the book or like my opinions about it, what have you heard within higher education about this map nonsense?
Well, luckily, I haven't heard much directly in my classes. I mean, I study communications, right? So it wouldn't make too much sense that they're talking about map, right? They sprinkle in some politics, but honestly, I get lucky. I can avoid more of the contentious issues and things like that. But I mean, I guarantee you, if we start asking students who are in social sciences, who are trying to be psychologists or all these other, I mean, the social science department at Cal State Fullerton is, I mean, it's disgusting. I mean, I showed up to a diversity center for their Latinx center. I hate saying it, what they call it, it's nonsense, but their Latino resource center. I show up a few days later, they're sending an email that we're planning an attack on LGBTQ events just because they saw my face there. Right. So they're crazy. Oh, right. And the department chair, I came after them. I went straight to the president of the university. I said, what is this garbage? You know? And they sent out a half-ass apology, correction email, whatever. So I'm sure there's a lot going on there. I've heard recordings from inside the classrooms. I know how they talk and what their ideas are. Some of them are moderate left. Some of them are pretty hardcore radicals. So it wouldn't surprise me if it's present there. But I haven't heard too much about it, at least in my programs, in my department. And I'm glad I haven't, because I don't know how much trouble I would get if I actually started hearing the arguments that they're presenting, and depending on how they present it.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. They're getting very crafty and they're very smart with how they present it. That's the issue. It's hard to, it's not hard, but it just takes a little bit of effort, you know, to really kind of work through the pieces of literature.
They have a script, they have buzzwords, and they say it to a sense where like, ooh, am I going to get canceled if I say, hey, this thing's kind of off, man, you know, and that's what they do. Yep.
It's exactly what they do. They're kind of setting it up so that way, no matter if you have a critique, you're going to get canceled, right? Like, someone's going to come at you.
Good luck getting a professor to, you know, help you on your research and, you know, admit you into their programs or anything, because, you know, they're going to think you're some homophobic, crazed radical just because, you know, you think people attracted to children are morally wrong and disgusting. Like, it's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a little bit ridiculous, you know, which I don't give a damn, you know, because I'm like, this is not right.
Yeah.
It's time that professors start doing the right thing. Oh. You know, you do not need academia to be a professor. Does it make it easier? Sure as hell does, right? It makes everything easier. But to be a scholar, you don't need academia to do what you do.
Like, so I'm not start a speaking but up. I can go research, you know, what drugs are doing to people. Right. I can look into things, you know, it's I mean, the journals are out there. They're there for you to read.
Exactly.
The internet is an infinite source of you know, wealth of knowledge.
Absolutely. Just like medicine, education is a business. If you pay to get into those databases, you'll get in.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. It just, you got to pay for it, but you're fine. But they use that to really kind of, you know, control scholars quite a bit. And I get it. But I'm not down with it.
Yeah.
But going back to the book, I really want to advise that if someone has been, abused by a pedophile, I would not recommend going through Dr. Walker's book unless you are seeing a therapist. It is going to be very triggering. Yeah. You know, I'm just going to
if you haven't been exposed to certain things in life and you have a kind of a weaker stomach, a weaker psyche, you know, which is fine. Normal people aren't supposed to be exposed to these kind of things. Yeah, don't touch it.
Yeah.
Stay away from it.
Exactly. And I mean, there's a reason why I felt, you know, that I had to do this, especially as a scholar. Mm-hmm. And I say that because I'm going through therapy as I'm making my way through it. It is very, you know, if there was ever a time for a trigger warning, this is it. But like I was mentioning to you earlier, the core, and I'm curious what your feedback is on this, that when you take away all of the nonsense and you just get down to the core argument of Dr. Walker's book, the only distinction that they provide between a MAP and a pedophile is that a MAP has not acted on their sexual preference. That's the distinction. So we shouldn't be calling MAPs pedophiles because they're being good by not acting on this or something. And I'm like, what? Anyway, what do you think about that?
Well, look, I kind of base how I view things first and foremost from a Christian standpoint, right? Whereas if someone understands they're being pulled into sin and they're refusing to partake in it, then Godspeed. And I hope God gives them strength to, you know, correct themselves, get help and get away from that. To what extent that's actually possible, I don't know. I can admit when I'm not sure, I'm not a psychologist on this, but I don't know if I believe that everyone surveyed in this book has never acted on something. Like, if you're telling me that they're heavily attracted to children to the point where they self-identify as that's their sexual lenience, or that they're leaning towards sexually, that they've never attempted to look at child pornography, that they've never been in some chat room fantasizing about it, or something that's still morally wrong. Like, again, like child pornography and kind of these fantasy artwork and stories that are written. I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if I believe that because I just, pedophilia is one of those things. It's a dark thing of the human psyche. And most people act on it to some extent. To what extent that is, that's kind of where this comes into play. So if they haven't and they're seeking help, then, you know, that's probably the best option and the best thing you can do if you are minor attracted, right? However, if they've acted on it at all, then they are pedophiles and they will have no remorse for me. They should have no remorse from the general public. They should be belittled and shunned. Simple as that. And I just don't know if I believe that these people have never acted on it at all. And they just know they're attracted to children, but have never steered that way in any way, shape or form ever. I don't know if I believe that.
I don't.
Yeah.
Not for one second. I don't believe it at all. But also, too, like what Dr. Walker is saying is like the help, quote unquote, that should be provided to MAPS is not to change their sexual preferences. It's to change society to be more accepting of them. That's the proposed help.
I'll be honest. I haven't delved too deep into, you know, the book. So if I'm correct, they're not trying to change their ways. They're just trying to get society to normalize it. I mean, are they arguing that they should normalize pedophilia?
Yes.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely confused by the argument because the argument I've heard and I've understood is that, you know, they haven't acted on it and they're trying to get help. But if the help is not to change who you are, then what would make them happy? Have you got that far yet? I haven't really got there yet in my reading of it.
Yeah, what would make them happy is to have pedophilia be a sexual orientation, and they won't go to, you know,
so if they acted
go to
on
jail
it,
for
they
it.
Still won't be sent and punished to prison, right?
The long game here is that pedophilia will be normalized.
So, yeah, over my dead
but
body,
that's kind of,
first of all, right? Like, literally, yeah. If the government won't do anything, people will start doing something, and, you know, I don't know if that will be able to get stopped, honestly.
Yeah.
That is
but that's, I mean, and that's why, like, when I was like, okay, I have to go through this as much as it sucks, but like there's a reason that I have to work my way through this to see what the argument is and approach it like a historian. What's the evidence? What's the theoretical basis? Yeah. What's the methodology? And it's a whole bunch of nothing.
Yeah.
It's a giant charade.
Yeah, I mean, there's no academic stress put on the book into the research or how they did things, right? There's no, and I'm sure of it. Because from what I've looked into, there hasn't really been that, I can't remember, kind of like an academic review, right? Where different professionals say, hey, is this study lined up? If we recreate it, the research, does it still hold? Is the hypothesis true?
I don't think any scholar, because I looked up, like, are there reviews?
Right.
And I don't think any scholar really wants to touch it or, like, do a review on it because Dr. Walker is trans.
Oh.
So I think they're scared that. If I'm going to go after the scholar, I'm going to get canceled because they're trans.
You know,
that's
Sarah,
not what. No.
I should probably take back everything I said because I don't want to offend that community. Because we all know in America that's the one group you cannot offend. So I'm going to go ahead and log off. No, I'm kidding. That is really messed up and dark. And the fact that people aren't reviewing this, aren't holding it to academic standards, looking into the hypothesis, and calling it out for what it is, which is pedophile propaganda. Not only says a lot about them as individuals, that they're cowards, that there's something wrong in their morality, but also with society. Like, why aren't people more up in arms about this? I mean, I think if you would have said something like that 20 years ago, even the most left-leaning news host in America would be like, look at this craziness. Look what this person said in this academic book, journal, whatever it may be. What is this, right? But we don't get that anymore, and that's really concerning.
No, and then even the interviews, right? I think it was 42 or 43 interviews that are used as, like, the core data.
Right, the pull for the research,
Not once does Dr. Walker ever talk to a person who was abused
by a pedophile. Oh,
that's
what they do, right? The left ignores the victims of their agendas, right? When people die from communism, that wasn't real communism. When people are malnourished and losing weight at the national level on an average, it's not real socialism, right? When, you know, kids are being groomed, it's not actually grooming, it's diversity, right? They don't mention the victims. That's straight number one rule of the playbook of socialism and leftism, right? You don't talk about victims.
Exactly.
That's horrendous.
Yeah, it's incredibly insulting. You know, I think that's the Achilles heel of the entire book. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, you go find someone who was abused by a pedophile and interview them and tell me how your thesis goes over with them. I don't think it's going to go over very well.
No, not
because I don't know. I could go on tangents.
Yeah,
it's nonsense.
You know,
to me.
A little bit about my background. I used to be a police officer, and I've worked on cases that involve sexual assault. I've worked on cases that involve children. Luckily, no children have been victims under sexual assault, at least that I investigated it. I thank God for that. But there have been some pretty horrendous stuff. And crimes against children are some of the most horrendous things. And even I've seen some terrible things in my life due to my former job before, you know, I left the military. And I even treaded very carefully when I started looking into this book because it's sickening.
It is.
And the fact that people in academia aren't making fun of this person, that aren't belittling, like I said, pedophiles should be belittled, shunned from society, ridiculed, and they should never be allowed to live peacefully and accepted. They just shouldn't. So for them to just basically accept, like, even if they just say, oh, and that's crazy, I don't know if I believe that, but you do you, that you're wrong, right? Because those who support evil are also evil. And by enabling it, by allowing it, you are supporting it.
Exactly. And to something I was going to say about it as well, when I, before I even started reading it, I was curious because I'm working on my PhD right now. Right. And I had heard through the grapevine that this book was originally Dr. Walker's dissertation, which typically happens. Like usually a scholar's first book was their dissertation. That's very common.
Right.
So I heard that and I was a little bit like, hang on a minute, because I'm working on mine and I don't know one PhD student who does not turn away an opportunity to talk about their research, right? Mm-hmm. And the programs, they're small, they're competitive. Sure. So everyone in your program knows what you're researching.
Right.
So then kind of going back to the accountability part of it, I was like, who was the advisor? Who was the committee? Like who sat on the committee? Who were the other students in that program? Did no one say anything? But then Dr. Walker talks about it in the book that there were professors who did say, you know, who did oppose the research and thought it was disgusting.
And, good on them.
And yeah, so I was like, okay, at least there was a few people still left in their sound mind. But not enough because it still got published.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, I'm like, you know what? You go right ahead. Go publish it. Because when you publish this asinine crap, yours truly will be there.
Yeah. I mean, hey, it is your First Amendment right to publish pedophile propaganda garbage. But it's also my First Amendment right to call you a piece of garbage, pedophile,
exactly,
human trash, evil person, right? Like anything I can come up with because it's true. But it changes though. You can publish whatever you want, but what university and what panel said, yes, this is compelling research. We are going to give you your PhD based off of your dissertation that minor attracted people should be accepted by society. Right? Who didn't sit there and go, what the heck were you thinking? No, go do research that's, I don't know, legitimate, right? Because I'm sure that research won't hold if it's criticized, right, and reviewed. There's so much holes there.
Exactly. In a strange way, the fact that this actually was published was kind of one of those things that was like, you know what? If this crap can be published, then I can publish anything I want. You know, so game on. Like, let's go.
You know what?
I'm done with the censorship. And
I don't think that's true. Hear me out. I don't think that's true because if you say some leftist garbage, like you come up with a term that's made up and an entire community does not use, but you say that this is the newfound leftist diverse and inclusive way, guess what? It gets used. For example, Latinx. Only 3% of all Latinos use Latinx, yet the universities have like the absolute necessity to use it constantly. I got an email from someone saying, do you want to be an educator? Well, come to a Latinx in education panel. And my response was, I will never go to anything that is titled Latinx because you clearly don't know who we are, don't respect us, and you're clearly a low IQ leftist because you actually believe in the nonsense. So I don't think that's true because if you and I wrote some, you know, maybe conservative leaning thing, right? Maybe our whole dissertation was that guns, in fact, do save lives. I know there's plenty of research out there that already proves this. But let's say there wasn't. We were gathering the numbers from the FBI database, this and that. We would be scrutinized very heavily, and they would be worried about letting it pass. But if I said, oh, Latinx is a new psychological term, a new term based on psychological research that I did that is more inclusive, even though only 3% of the community would ever use it, they would be like, this is a piece of art. This is amazing. Put this in a museum. And make sure every university in the world uses it. So I don't know if that's true. I don't know.
I do see what you're saying.
No.
And when I say, you know, that scholar, you know, it's kind of like we should I'm not going to hold back what I want to publish.
Yeah.
I think what I'm saying is that means I think scholars need to look into self-publication. They need to take it back into their own hands because scholars absolutely do not have control over higher education. They're not the ones calling the shots.
That's right.
This is not real scholarship. There is censorship. There is coercion in higher education.
There's elites in everything. And they happen to be leftist elites in our current
society. Yeah. This is, and I'm like, sometimes I get a little confused by scholars who are so, just bend over backwards to appease the big
Yeah.
publishers. And I'm like, are you an American? Do you
Right.
really think our founders were, our founders
Right.
self-published? They took it into their own hands. Like, who are you?
Yeah. Right. And I do agree
It's
with
a
you there. I
little.
mean, if you have ideas and you have your research, find ways to share it to the world. You don't need these institutions that are ran by leftists. And I guess that's where we agree. Where what I was basically saying is, if it's not leftist leaning, you will have a legitimate difficult time. And if it's conservative leaning, you're gonna have a
True.
very difficult time. But if you are a leftist, you can publish anything you want, basically. Yeah. And the academia
That's,
will help
yeah.
you.
That's
Yeah.
true. Well, perhaps we should conclude our conversation with just trying to go back to finding those solutions, things that we think need to be done, or things, ways that people can kind of fight
Yeah.
back against this awful attempt
Yeah,
to
attack on our
normalize
children.
pedophilia. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I still stand by what I mentioned earlier, that I think it is important for scholars to start getting involved in ways of sharing their
Yes.
education, making it public or open access for especially those mama bears, like teaching them about the legal system, no matter what the state is, what goes on at the federal level. Like, I think that's something we can definitely do.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's time for teachers to actually start sending in those reports since you're a mandated reporter.
Right.
That could be a start also. But yeah, what are your thoughts on some potential ways to fight back against
Yeah.
this?
Well, like I said, first, we need to be praying that God comes over this land and corrects all the wrongs that are happening. That's where I put my trust first and foremost. It's God.
Yeah.
Christ is King. He can change and save anything and anyone. So that is our first, and really our last hope. And in the meantime, what we can also do is, it sounds cliche, but we have to get involved politically, because politics affects every single aspect of our lives, regardless if you care that much about it, or if you're apolitical, it still affects you, right? I'm just saying this. I'm a registered Republican. I don't see my party lowering punishments for fucking pedophiles. I see the Democrats and their disgusting radical leftists doing it. And that's just a fact. So I know what party I align with just off of that, and the many, many reasons other than that, right? But it's getting involved politically, because it does affect everything. Help politicians, be involved in your community, get into the PTA, go to the school board meetings, even if you're the most annoying person there, right? Like, with Ocean Beach Elementary School, I don't have a kid, but guess what? I'm going to be at their next school board meeting, and I'm going to be raising hell over this rainbow club for third graders that they're hiding from adults. And everybody should be, even if you don't have kids, right? Because one day I will. And if we're not fighting back now, what will the next generation have to deal with? And that was the mistakes of the generation before us. We're in a similar age range. The generation before us let too many things slide. They didn't see the warning signs, and now we're dealing with craziness. And if we don't stop it will only get worse. I've been saying it, the slippery slope fallacy is no longer a fallacy. You could see the trends and where things are going, and they've been true over and over again in our social, economic, and political landscape here in the US and across the world. So honestly, yeah, pray to God, praise his word, try to spread it, because America would have a lot less issues if we weren't such a godly society nowadays, and get involved politically. It sucks. I know politics can be hard to get into. I know not all politicians are amazing and high quality candidates, but there's parties and there's politicians who would never let these things happen. And there's those who promote it and want it to happen, like the Democrat Party and like the leftists. So pick your side and actually get involved and help them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Marcos, thank you so much for joining me again on another episode of The Makeup Historian,
Yeah.
where, we showcase honest discussions to highlight the beauty and blemishes of history. Also, sometimes that means, taking part in our preservation of it as well,
Right.
kind of in the moment a little bit more so. But
Yeah.
thank you so much. And for those who are interested in working with you or the projects that you're involved in, where can people reach out to you, or what are some social media handles that they can connect with you on?
Yeah, absolutely. So if they want to, the most I use is Instagram, and they can find me at Marcos, MARCOS underscore Zelada, ZELADA. And if they want to connect on Twitter, they can. Ever since Elon came back and took over on Twitter, I'm back on Twitter. and that's Marcos_ZSpeaks. I answer DMs the best that I can. So if anyone wants information how to get involved in San Diego, Orange County, anything that I may know, I am more than happy to help. And if I can't help, I'll put you in touch with someone who can. So we're all united in this fight. So whatever I can do to help others, if they know something's happening at schools, if you know they have heard some things from their sister's kid's school, like, let us know.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Marcos. You are always welcome here.